Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. And I'm giving a shout out to all the new listeners we're getting each and every week during this pandemic update. But regardless of who you are, we all have one thing in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this scamdemic. So welcome to the 449th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And this is the fifth in our very special series on the coronavirus heist. And I've titled it, COVID-19, Spiritual Slavery, and Piercing Harkins 8 Veils. Now I'd like to start today by reading a very, very potent scripture for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. But if our gospel, that's good news, folks, be hid, it's hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, and that's none other than Satan, also known as Lucifer, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the good news, folks, of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what does this mysterious novel coronavirus, this thing that President Trump actually says is intelligent? It's not, folks. What does this coronavirus, this invisible enemy, spiritual slavery, and piercing Harkins 8 veils all have in common? Well, stay tuned to find out as we pull back the covers on what's really going on behind the scenes in this scamdemic, this plandemic, the coronavirus heist, as I like to call it.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it? Pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scamdemic, they call it the great equalizer, and say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be, and folks, that ain't either you or me, so let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist, and just say they know that all their lies and mind control. The coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it? Pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scamdemic, they call it the great equalizer, and say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me, so let's all wake up to this coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control.
The coronavirus,
COVID-19, what call it? Pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scamdemic, they call it the great equalizer, and say we're all in this together.
Well, folks, before we get into the spiritual slavery that I'm talking about and piercing these 8 veils of some guy named Harkin, I'd like to look into some of the latest in the coronavirus news that happened this week. And perhaps you've heard some of this, but I'd like to put a little bit of a different perspective on it. So the first thing I want to open with is out of the Daily Mail. Chinese-owned Smithfield Foods, they shutter 2 more meat processing plants in Missouri and Wisconsin. So the big one shut down, and then these other facilities shut down. And by the way, did you know that Smithfield Meats is now owned by the Chinese? And by the way, here in Pittsburgh, in Arnold, PA, we had this company called Northside Meats. They were bought by Smithfield, and they supply all of the pork products for the McDonald's. Now, they're owned by Smithfield, so McDonald's, all their sausage and bacon supply and all that they do with pork-based products is owned by the Chinese. So they closed 2 more plants. And then this week on one of the pressers, Sonny Perdue, you know, the Secretary of Agriculture, he comes out in a conference and tells America there's no food shortage. Yet National Guard units are all over the country. They're training for crowd control. What's that have to do with the coronavirus? And be forewarned. And he goes on to say, we don't have a food shortage. We have a distribution problem. And he goes on to explain how the food's not packaged right for consumer use. It's designed for restaurants and institutional use. And there may be some truth in that. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, you have a food shortage. That's what it is. And the president of Smithfield Foods also warned of a food shortage. And grocery stores across the country are readjusting their meat section in the coolers to make them smaller, so it doesn't look empty all the time. Then there's this other one, this other article from NewsWars.com. Passport to the Brave New World, the vaccine. And, you know, you got Bill Gates out there, a computer geek, telling us that this phenomenal vaccine is going to save the day. You know, this technology is known as IGT, and that's how they're developing this vaccine. And it's novel, too, folks. It's altogether different than traditional vaccines. So instead of where they take a piece of a diseased or dead DNA to try to create antibodies in you, or they take some dead virus and they try to create antibodies in your system, instead what this new therapy is doing, it's gene therapy. So the scientists, what they're doing is they isolate the genes that produce these powerful antibodies in our systems against certain diseases, and then what they're going to do is they're going to synthesize artificial versions of this. They're going to clone it into a DNA strand, and then they're going to inject this into human tissue, usually muscle. I'm telling you, folks, this is all uncharted territory. And I'm going to cover this in a little bit more detail later into this thing. And then Bill Gates, don't even get me started on him, okay? He's keen to vaccinate us. That's what this article says, but not his own family. On tapenewswire.com, on the April, I don't have a date, just April 2020, here he is advocating vaccines, and he's had failure after failure, massive failures worldwide with his foundation and vaccinations. We're going to get into more of that next week, but all I can say is he won't even vaccinate his own children. You know, there's one word for that: hypocrisy. So I did mention that Smithfield's shutting these plants, and I want to read this quote from Chief Executive Kevin Sullivan. It's impossible to keep our grocery store stocked if our plants are not running. These facility closures will have severe, perhaps disastrous repercussions to many in the supply chain. First and foremost, our nation's livestock farmers. There's going to be livestock piling up all over the country, and they have a finite life. I used to raise hogs, folks. And when a little piglet grows, it becomes a fairly big pig. And if you keep allowing these things to grow, they become as big as cows on short little legs. And they're very, very ferocious eaters, and they cost money. So it's not only happening with Smithfield. It's also happening with Tyson Foods, Cargill, JBS. These are some of the biggest meat processors in our country, and the plants are idled. So my advice to you, find a local farmer and a local butcher and start buying local. There's a lot of farmers out there with cattle, and they're going to need a place to sell them. And then the Mayo Clinic, one of the top medical centers in the country, is facing a $3 billion loss. And they're planning spending cuts all the way to year end. This is out of Business Bulletin. And last night, before we went to bed, I saw a plea for money from Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. You know, think about the irony of this, folks. The Congress allocates a $2 billion relief bill, phase one of whatever you want to call it, plus another $4 billion for the bankers, $4 trillion, I mean. And then they have the audacity to come to us and ask us for money. And then here's perhaps the bombshell of the moment. global bombshell, folks. China admits to harvesting and testing COVID-19 like coronaviruses in the Wuhan lab. So this started with InfoWars, and they've been disparaged so much over the years, folks. And I've been talking about this coming out of a lab after I read the reports from a Israeli facility and an Indian research facility that both identified genetic manipulation in the COVID-19 specimens. Yet everybody says conspiracy theory. Even Brian Williams on NBC referred to it. I need to find that clip and play it for you. Folks, it's not conspiracy theory. It's conspiracy fact. Back in Obama's administration, the NIH, National Institute of Health, gave the Chinese Weapons Lab $3.7 million to conduct SARS coronavirus research. Now it's coming out that so did Canada and so did France. This is appalling, folks. I'd like to play this three-minute clip of Lou Dobbs interviewing Dr. Mike Pillsbury on this coronavirus in the Wuhan lab.
Potential for the Wuhan virus pandemic surfaced, we now know, as early as 2018. The U.S. State Department cables warning of safety issues at the Wuhan Institute of Virology that was studying bat coronaviruses. U.S. officials made frequent trips to the laboratory. They warned of the potential for human transmission of a new SARS-like pandemic. And despite those warnings, the U.S. National Institutes of Health awarded a nearly $4 million grant to the Wuhan lab studying the virus. What were they thinking? Well, joining us tonight to take all of this and more up, Dr. Michael Pillsbury, director of the Center for Chinese Strategy at the Hudson Institute, author of the 100-Year Marathon. Mike, it is great to have you with us. This early warning coming from the State Department about Wuhan, the virology lab there, combine that with the warnings from the Taiwanese to the World Health Organization last fall. Why was there not a better understanding of what we were dealing with on the part of the World Health Organization and the Chinese government itself?
Well, first of all, Lou, there's a lot of wishful thinking about China being open and our friend and sharing things with us. You find in the story of this laboratory in Wuhan that we're deeply involved in it. University of Texas was providing support to them. The lead researcher, Dr. Scher, she has been to the U.S. a lot. She's the subject of a profile. Her nickname in China is Bat Lady. Dr. Scher goes to bat caves, extracts the bats, gets the viruses out, and then cultivates them in the laboratory. Now, what she was apparently doing is revealed in these cables, but a lot of American scientists who know her, they already knew this, Lou. She is adding something called gain of function to a virus, to a coronavirus. In theory, this is extremely dangerous. Why would the United States fund her to do this? That's an open question at this point. It's beginning to look like the wet wildlife market theory is not correct. That's a theory that China started. These cases somehow are coming out of that market. So our senators were calling for the market to be closed. They may be on the wrong track. It may be that it's the CDC and other American agencies helping the Chinese. They wanted more money. These two cables revealed they wanted more money to go to the lab to help Dr. Scher be more safe. Now, why is that? Because one of the gain of function features is to see if it can spread more rapidly to humans. They don't necessarily spread to humans. So this is very dangerous research. We did it too in the Atlanta in the CDC. We had an accident about 2004 or so. So these scientists may have been sent down from our embassy to Wuhan to make sure the same kind of accident we had in Atlanta didn't happen with her, perhaps far more dangerous viruses. So now this is a whole new theory, Lou, that instead of the wildlife market where there were no bats, I mean, bats don't get sold there. This may have a different origin, which in turn affects what could happen next. The mystery is getting deeper, Lou.
Yeah, the mystery certainly is getting deeper, folks. Did you hear some of the things he said? Dr. Scher, the bat lady, and her gain of function research. So they're weaponizing these. And there are articles out there. A 2015 article from The Scientist talks about concerns that scientists had creating this this monster of a disease in the lab. Gain-of-function research. Now listen to biodefense experts' quote. This is Richard Ebright, who said, "The only impact of this work is the creation in the lab of a new non-natural risk." What's going on here, folks? And this coincides with the fact that Bill Gates ran a coronavirus pandemic simulation back in October last year. Remember I played that clip last week? 2017, and we're going to get into more of this next week as we get into the unholy alliance of Dr. Birx, Dr. Fauci, and the computer geek Gates. But in 2017, he warned that President Trump would face a surprise outbreak. I'm going to play that clip for you next week, folks. During his presidency, Trump's presidency, Fauci warned this in 2017. And then we even have congressmen weighing in on this. Mike Gates, he got a lot of pushback on this, but he's expressing disgust after he learned about this. Here's a quote from Congressman Gates. And I'm going to see if I can find this clip for you, too. But he said, "I'm disgusted to learn that for years the U.S. government has been funding dangerous and cruel animal experiments in the Wuhan Institute that may have contributed to this global outbreak." Folks, this stuff's appalling. It really is. I just don't understand how they can get away with this, be brought up on it. That's how deep their tentacles go. It's like the octopus I talked about, remember? Now they're talking about, and I'm hearing Gates on all sorts of talk shows. He was on Ellen, and he's talking about this this phenomenal vaccine that's going to save the day. Well, he's the guy making it. And he's talking about how it's going to have to be mandatory, and he's going to have implantable microchips, and they're talking about an infrared-detectable tattoo, and we're going to have a national ID card, an immunity card. It sounds like a game show, folks. And then how about this one out of greatmedia.com? A CDC whistleblower came out and said that the CDC is manipulating the death toll. We all knew that, didn't we? And we're going to get into that in a little more detail a little further on in this. And then there was a 2017 Pentagon memo that talked about the pandemic, and it had creepy accuracy. That's in Popular Mechanics, folks. But just remember what the mainstream media was telling us. On January 23rd of this year, when Wuhan went into lockdown, they said that most Americans are wondering what's up with Wuhan, China. And on the 28th, Fox News stated that the Chinese virus is beginning to look like a real threat. But on the 31st, Vox reported, Vox, V-O-X, not Fox, F-O-X. Vox reported, "Is this going to be a deadly pandemic? No." And then on the 31st, the Washington Post headline was, "How our brains make coronavirus seem scarier than it is." See, the thing is, all of the minion of the mainstream media, they weren't on with the program yet. They didn't know they had to get in line. On February 1st, the Washington Post said, "Get a grip, America. The flu's a much bigger threat than the coronavirus." So the mainstream media was actually telling you a lot of truth before they got the memo from the deep state. 23rd, the Post again said, "Why should we be wary of an aggressive government response?" So they're actually touting what I've been saying before they got the word that they're supposed to, you know, get in line. The New York Times stated on February 13th, "In Europe, fear spreads faster than the coronavirus itself." And on the 21st, CNN said, "What's spreading faster than the coronavirus in the U.S.? Racist assaults." Cooper's going on to preach to us about how this is being turned into a xenophobic thing by referring to it as the Chinese virus. But that's what they called it, folks. And then get this. Fauci blames President Trump for not responding to the coronavirus in February. But on February 29th, he dismissed the pandemic. And I need to get that clip for you, too. So do you see how all these things come together? What I'd like to do is expose the Fauci, Burks, Gates triangle conspiracy. But we'll save that for a little later. Folks, what I've seen that over the past week or so, a true conspiracy here. And it's not a conspiracy theory, it's conspiracy fact, and I'd like to share it with you. And these are the three main actors behind it, along with the head of the CDC. And wait till you hear some of the information I'll share with you next week on that. I'm telling you, folks, it's dark and it's planned. And I'm convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that this needs to be exposed. How about the Congressman Robert F. Kennedy Jr. exposing Bill Gates' vaccine agenda in that report that he gave? And I think there's an article in Zero Hedge on that. So these are some of the things I'd like to get into in more detail next week when we expose this unholy trinity, so to speak. But right now, I'd like to wrap up the news, or actually all these little snippets of the news, and then dive into one major topic. But first, I thought it'd be good to have a little humor. So here's one, okay? This new app attempts to detect signs of COVID-19 using our cell phones and voice analysis. Yeah, you heard that right. In terms of diagnostics, of course, it's never going to be as accurate as taking a swab and putting some auger on it and waiting for it to grow. Do I hear laughter out there again? You know, it's kind of crazy. This is coming out of CMU, folks. CMU. With all of their great brainiacs there, they're making a cell phone app to see if we have the coronavirus by how we talk. Stop laughing, okay? I know it's funny, but it's not that funny. I'm telling you, it's crazy because that's simply not, that's not how the whole system of testing works. What I'd like to do now is get into an article from Uncover DC. And this woman is a great researcher. And I have to give her a shout out. I don't have her name here, but it's uncoverdc.com. Was the coronavirus, or was the COVID-19 test meant to detect a virus? Now, she was personally acquainted with Dr. Kary Mullis. He's the Nobel laureate and the inventor of the polymerase chain reaction that's used to detect the virus. Now, she wrote this article on April 7th, 2020, and she starts with a quote from Kary, Dr. Mullis, who says, "Scientists are doing an awful lot of damage to the world in the name of helping it. I don't mind attacking my own fraternity because I'm ashamed of it." Folks, I'm telling you, this coronavirus heist is the latest terror bomb dropped by the global elites, the deep state, and their atheistic mainstream media creeps. It truly is. So what's it mean when somebody is told they tested positive for the coronavirus? Well, remember what I told you fear stands for. Fear is false evidence about reality. So get that, folks. Fear is false evidence about reality. Now, what exactly does it mean when the mainstream media reports these new numbers of coronavirus cases every day? Well, first off, I'm telling you, we've been hijacked by what I like to call the scientific dictatorship. And I talked a little bit about that in regards to scientism a few weeks ago. And folks, that's exactly what epidemiology is. It's not a hard science. It's a social science. And it cannot hold a candle or carry the water for engineering, chemistry, or physics. And I'm not talking astrophysics or theoretical physics here. I'm talking hardcore physics, the physics you use in statics and dynamics to design buildings and engineer things. Yet the high priests of scientism have kept us all in the dark about what they're actually talking about, in most cases concerning COVID-19, okay? Well, in this COVID-19 test, they use Kary Mullis's PCR, polymerase chain reaction methodologies. And it's sad to say that PCR itself has been weaponized by this scientific dictatorship to prove that somebody has something. Now, they started doing this first and foremost with the HIV virus back in the 80s and 90s. And that's where some of the scandal with that unholy trinity of Birx and Fauci and the head of the CDC and Bill Gates all began. So these pseudoscientists have taken our freedoms away in the past month, all on a theory. Folks, I'm a scientist. I'm an accomplished hardcore scientist. And I'm telling you, these people are not. I listen to some of the things they say. They're not scientific. They're not disciplined. They're social engineers, folks, politicians, global thought leaders, bankers, WHO fanatics. This is a gang with an agenda. Army that they're using is the corrupted mainstream media with their round-the-clock propaganda machine. And then we've got Gates leading the charge for the phenomenal vaccine. This is literally the Fourth Reich. And it's at our doorstep, knocking right now. Remember, Kerry Mullis was a scientist, too, and I wish I could have met him. He never spoke like this. He wasn't into all this. He was once quoting saying, "I'm a scientist, not a lifeguard." And there's a very important line in the sand right there I'd like to share with you folks. Because anyone who goes around claiming they're saving lives is a very dangerous person. And you ought to run in the opposite direction to anything they're suggesting, okay? Because they're using the weapon of fear. And their favorite word is could. You know, when they say the models show us that it could get very serious. 250,000 people could die, but that's better than 2.5 million. They keep readjusting their numbers because, again, I said it's not a hard science. So let me say this again. Their weapon is fear, and their favorite word is could. So they try to entrap the masses, ensnare the masses, the sheeple, you know, with a form of simulated bioterrorism. And that's what this is. And they do this by creating these absurd models with every potential, everything that could be, maybe, with this word possible. Yet it doesn't happen. And my point here is that, yeah, it's possible, folks, but it's not probable. And that's been my point through this entire scamdemic. Let's separate the possibilities from the probabilities. You know, folks, Bill Gates has been waiting a long time for a virus like this to just become his soapbox, so to speak. This one has pandemic potential. Those are his words. But Gates has a problem, and it's this test that Dr. Mullis developed, the PCR test. And we see updates daily, okay, on the number of COVID-19 cases. You know, they have those screens with the red background and the big numbers, and it looks so horrible. But by the way, have you noticed that the entire world's been hijacked with this one single event? That's all that's on the news anymore. Like nothing else is happening in the world as they rob the wealth of this nation, as tensions arise in the Middle East and over in Asia, as the drumbeat for war just keeps pounding on and on. Well, I'll give you a pass if you think all actual COVID-19 cases are real. Tell you they're not. Doctors have been encouraged, okay, to state COVID-19 on the death certificates even though they haven't been confirmed as a COVID-19 death. So here's Michigan, I think it's Michigan Senator Scott Jensen. He's a doctor and a senator, and he's being interviewed by Laura Ingraham. This is about a 2-minute, 50-second clip, and he's going to talk about what the CDC is encouraging physicians to do on death certificates, and I refer to it as death padding. But just listen to this.
I want to read for our viewers what the CDC says in part about how to count COVID deaths relating to that last issue we just raised. In cases where a definite diagnosis of COVID cannot be made but is suspected or likely, like the circumstances are compelling with a reasonable degree of certainty, it is acceptable to report COVID-19 on a death certificate as probable or presumed. So, doctor, what's the problem with that?
Well, in short, it's ridiculous. I spent some time earlier today just going through the CDC's manual on how to complete death certificates and the parts that were specifically written for physicians. And in that manual, it talks of precision and specificity, and that's what we were trained with. The determination of the cause of death is a big deal. It has impact on estate planning. It has impact on future generations. And the idea that we're going to allow people to massage and sort of game the numbers is a real issue, because we're going to undermine the trust. And right now, as we see politicians doing things that aren't necessarily motivated on fact and science, the public's going to, their trust in politicians is already wearing thin.
And doctor, in that same CDC guidance sheet on COVID-19, it references the fact that basically this is a judgment call for doctors on how to fit, you know, I read it, how to, what goes on line one, and then what goes on line two, and what goes on the final line as far as contributing factors and ultimate cause of death. But they concede that it is a judgment call. Again, why is that not correct?
Well, let's just take influenza. If I have a patient died a month ago, had fever, cough, and died after 3 days, and maybe had been an elderly, fragile individual, and there happened to be an influenza epidemic around our community, I wouldn't put influenza on the death certificate, and I've never been encouraged to do so. I would put probably respiratory arrest would be the top line, and the underlying cause of disease would be pneumonia, and in the contributing factors, I might well put emphysema or congestive heart failure. But I would never put influenza down as the underlying cause of death, and yet that's what we're being asked to do here.
Dr. Fauci was asked about the COVID death count today. Here's what he said in part.
What do you say to those folks who are making the claim without really any evidence that these deaths are being padded, that the number of COVID-19 deaths are being padded?
You will always have conspiracy theories when you have very challenging public health crises. They are nothing but distractions.
Did you hear that? Fauci again. What he's doing, and he's not addressing the question, he's doing a logical fallacy, and it's called ad hominem, attack the person. That's exactly what he did. None of this that they're doing right now is based on fact and science. They're doing the exact opposite of what doctors are encouraged to do when they assign cause of death. Anything that could possibly be, maybe, probably, could have been, should have been, would have been, they're classifying as a COVID-19 death. And there's a financial incentive to this. There's also a political incentive to this if you happen to wear a blue tie. But these daily reports are cases expressed with very big numbers. For example, if you go on the Worldometer, and as of 4/17/20, I checked this last night, the total cases in the U.S., okay, 710,021, and the total death figure is 37,158. Yet when you look at the daily deaths and compare it to another term, a time, maybe last year, we don't have that many more daily deaths than we did for this particular day last year. And then there's another column called active cases at 612,353, of which 97,668 had an outcome. And then the total recovered is 60,510. So what's all these numbers mean? What's an active case? Does that mean it's fully symptomatic, partially symptomatic? And what's this asymptomatic group they're talking about all the time? Well, quite honestly, it's a bunch of BS, folks. Now, don't get me wrong. There is something going on out there. And I mentioned last week that I think it might be better to view all of these different things being classified as COVID-19. View COVID-19 as an umbrella, because I've mentioned two other things that can cause similar symptoms. One is 5G radiation poisoning, and that's not some kind of conspiracy theory either. That's documented. There are electrical engineering studies out there that show at 60 gigahertz, oxygen absorptivity is compromised. Isn't that what we're having issues with right now? Respiratory issues? Desaturation of the oxygen levels in bloodstreams? It's about that, remember? So there's an umbrella they're using to classify deaths right now. Notice the flu deaths and the respiratory deaths and pneumonia deaths, they're dropping off the cliff. There's virtually none of those being reported right now. So this, honestly, it's a bunch of BS. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, there are people who are having severe cases and even death, and I feel really bad for that. But we're dictating public policy for a nation of over 300 million people based on tens of thousands of people dying. And by the way, 8,000 people a day die in the United States. And this is a statistic that goes back at least 20 years. I have the CDC data. I posted it on my Twitter page. And we need to find a daily death report that's accurate that we can work against the normal to see what the true deviation is. What's going on is this invisible enemy of ours is expressing itself from a mild illness with non-specific symptoms all the way up to these catastrophic deaths. And bottom line, there's no trademark clinical feature for a COVID-19 infection diagnosis. None. And I want to repeat that. No trademark clinical features. It's this broad umbrella. And for that, we've collapsed the world. I say agenda. I say conspiracy. And you know, it's all riding on this Mullis's PCR test. It's being used as some sort of biotech oracle, you know, some black box. But guess what, folks? The diagnosis of COVID-19 involving the PCR laboratory test is flawed. And there was a big argument among scientists over this during the HIV crisis of the 80s and 90s. And that's where the scandal with Birx and head of the CDC came from. And I'll get into more detail on that next week. But what we're seeing is something out there that's getting people sick, or some things. Perhaps it's 5G, perhaps it's nutritional deficiencies, and God knows we have a horrible diet here in the United States. And it's overlapping with the flu, and it's pushing out flu deaths. It's displacing flu deaths, respiratory deaths, pneumonia, that were normally in the past reported as normal flus. And you heard that clip I played from Laura Ingraham. That's exactly what they're doing. So there's some severe cases, and they die from an acute lack of oxygen, and 5G causes that absorptivity issue at 60 gigahertz. There's a paper out there on it. And maybe that's the reason that model works, like I mentioned, with the hydroquinone, because of the denaturing of the hemoglobin, and it stops that mechanism. But the bottom line is there are people out there that are dying and they can't breathe, and we're politicizing this. And we will not even have a discussion, a rational scientific discussion concerning 5G. So what's the true relationship between testing and this novel coronavirus? Well, in my opinion, what we're experiencing here is a big assumption, a big if, a big possible. You know, like I was talking about that. And that's because here in the U.S., all classical diagnostic methodologies in medicine are being abandoned in favor of biotech testing or lab result medicine. Now, this pandemic didn't start this. This has been going on for a while, and it's a dangerous new trend. And that's because of this corona test, techno-savvy name. Listen to the official name for the coronavirus test. It's the CDC 2019 nCoV real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel. Boy, just imagine that when you get your explanation of benefits and then your bill. Oh, I had the CDC 2019 nCoV real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel. So let me translate that to you. It simply means that we're on a needle in the DNA haystack test. See, Kerry Mullis, with his PCR test, is a method to find nucleic acid fragments, and that's what they're identifying. They're not isolating viable virus molecules. They're isolating RNA fragments, and it even gets better than that. Okay, because they have to pick which fragment is specific, which fragment is important. And how do they know all that if they haven't gone through Koch's postulates that we discussed a few weeks ago? Now, here I'm going to quote Kerry Mullis, okay, in an email he wrote to the widow of the boxer named Tommy Morrison, who had an HIV diagnosis using this PCR test. It ruined his career and destroyed his life. And here's what And Tommy Morrison battled the test manufacturers for years because it ruined him. On a simple blood test or something, I don't know the details, Tommy Morrison was identified as HIV positive and his career was just destroyed. And here's what Dr. Mullis wrote to his wife on May 7th, 2013. PCR detects a very small fragment of the nucleic acid, which is part of a virus itself. The specific fragment detected is determined by the somewhat arbitrary choice of DNA primers used, which become the ends of the amplified fragment. So the point here is that if things are done right, it could possibly confirm an infection. But there are two issues, okay, that make it a far cry from a simple, efficient test. First of all, you have to identify the appropriate DNA primers to identify the appropriate nucleic acid chain that you're going to identify. And then Mullis continues with this quote in that email to the boxer's wife. You have to have a whopping amount of any organism to cause symptoms, huge amounts of it. Wow. So you know how this PCR test works? It's kind of like a cloning machine. You take a fragment of the RNA, which isn't even a virus itself, and then you replicate it with DNA, and you run this on a cycle. So 2 becomes 4, 4 becomes 16, 16 becomes 256, and you keep multiplying it every cycle. Like I said, it's like a cloning machine, okay? And it amplifies this fragment. Listen to what Dr. David Raznick, he's a biochemist. He was in protease technology, and he was the founder of EM Labs. Okay, the name of the company was Viral Forensics. And here's what he said. You don't start with testing. You start with listening to the lungs. I'm skeptical that a PCR test is ever true. It's a great scientific research tool, but it's a horrible tool for clinical medicine. 30% of your infected cells have been killed before you show symptoms. By the time you show symptoms, the dead cells are generating the symptoms. You see this? They're putting the cart before the horse. So this is serious, folks. And I don't think the average person even understands it. So he was asked, this Resnick guy was asked whether we should get these tests or not. And he says, if you're healthy, don't do it. No healthy person should be tested. It means nothing, but it can destroy your life and make you absolutely miserable. Now, one of the countless head-spinning mysteries that are out there around this whole COVID-19 scamdemic has been the stream of famous people who tested positive for COVID-19. Remember, there was Tom Hanks and his wife, and then Sophie Trudeau and Prince Charles, all announcing that they tested positive for COVID-19, and they were self-quarantining. Yet in all these famous, powerful cases, with the exception of Boris Johnson, the symptoms were either non-existent or extremely mild. How about Cuomo on CNN? Same thing. So then why does the mainstream media make such a big deal over them? And don't the royals, the British royal family, keep everything hush-hush, tire, principle of secrecy? Everything's kept so hush-hush at the Windsor Castle. So what's all this mean? Well, for one thing, it's telling me that COVID-19 isn't as deadly as everybody's telling you it is. Again, I'm not belittling or I'm not pushing aside the people that have died from something that's spreading across the world. But maybe it's not as on big of a scale as we think it is. And this virus, or at least the specific RNA fragments that are being identified as a virus, can be present in all of our blood, in all of our systems, without causing a quote-unquote disease. There are host factors, there are immune system responses in the host, that's us, that have a big factor in this. Now, I guess what I'm trying to say is having tested positive for COVID-19 isn't some sort of death sentence, folks. It's a public relations ploy, and that's what these numbers are doing. So could it be that these elite, these deep state folks, in their own esoteric language of Scientology, are using some sort of hidden communication to advance an agenda, control, tracking, a new money system. Who knows for sure? And all at the altar of this pagan virus deity. Now, in the case of Trudeau, okay, Sophie tested positive and she had symptoms, but her husband, the Prime Minister of Canada, wasn't even tested and he never got sick. And he didn't want to be privileged, okay, so he didn't take one of the precious tests. You know, in Canada, you have to have symptoms to get a test. And that's what ration healthcare gives you, folks. But that's another story for another day. So the bottom line is that today in this world dominated by the coronavirus, I like how this I forget the guy's name, but he said it's a world with knobs on it. You see all these little cartoon pictures they do of the virus, okay? And it's become the dominant meme of the day. That's all everybody's thinking about as we're having our wealth robbed from us, as political tensions rise all across the world, as horrendous things are happening in the legislatures across the country. Okay? We have a world dominated by the unseen enemy, the coronavirus, in a simulation, while so many of us seek to grab hold of the truth and reality. That's what I'm doing. So the one way I try to do this is by numbers and statistics, folks. I try to slow down this spin that's coming out of the mainstream media every day, and I analyze numbers. Now, the globalists, they love to weaponize words and numbers, and they create these spells or these incantations with them, and they get the entire world under this this blanket of fear. And that's mind control. That's what I talked about with you last week. And they invent all these new words, and they have us all using them, you know? Words like coronavirus and social distancing, COVID-19, tested positive, stay safe. You know, the bottom line, folks, is this test for this invisible enemy is tainted with suspicion. You know, like Humpty Dumpty said to Alice in Through the Looking Glass, I can make words mean whatever I want them to mean. And as these talking heads up at the podium on the daily pressers, they can make statistics mean whatever they want them to mean. So they can make testing positive or even dying from COVID-19 mean whatever they want it to mean. Remember the spiritual principle that I shared with you last week and actually a couple weeks. Fear is to Satan what faith is to Jesus. So anything that frightens you doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. It's not of the Holy Spirit. It's from the enemy. Jesus said, beware the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That's the end of the topic. So if you listen to something and it scares you, run from it, folks, because it's not of God. And we don't have to say stay safe to everyone we see. We are safe. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. God gave us this incredible immune system. That's a miracle, like one of the seven wonders of the world. It cleanses us. It detoxifies us. It resists all sorts of microbial attack on a grand scale beyond anything you could ever imagine, while operating a superhighway of adaptive life-sustaining genetic triggers in our own system that creates antibodies. They're cellular bridges of sorts, you know. They emit messages. And what they do is they attack the virus then. But in the process, our bodies are full of viruses and retroviruses. And, you know, some of these fragments that appear as viruses are actually exosomes. They're the waste product of a cell replenishing itself, a cell detoxifying. And we talked a little bit about that. So now what do they want to do with this quote-unquote phenomenal vaccine of Bill Gates? Well, what they want to do is they want to take DNA and they want to modify the portion of the DNA that has this mechanism in it to make it a super recharger. They're messing with God's own system of protection. They think they can do it better. And they're doing this because of this malicious, predatory, invisible enemy that's lurking on every surface, okay? Folks, this isn't science. That's what epidemiology is. It's social engineering. And it's a form of terrorism. Fear porn. And you know where most terrorism comes from? It doesn't come from some group in a cave in the Middle East. It's funded by government. Bottom line, the reason Bill Gates wants you to believe that the coronavirus is going to destroy like a half a billion people is that he hates nature. He hates God, and he hates you and me. Remember, he's a rich computer geek, for God's sake. He's not a scientist or a doctor. So let's look into this crack team of doctors and scientists that are leading us down this path of disaster and chaos, okay? And I'd like to do that next week because this thing is running long right now. But I want to show you what's behind Gates and Fauci and Burks and their unholy trinity of lies and deceit. But for right now, what I'd like to do is wrap this up with just some spiritual guidance for all of us, okay? Now let's take a look at spiritual slavery and the enemy that tries to bind us with lies. And then look just briefly into the eight veils or shrouds that stand between us as a fragile, easily manipulated human being and the light of truth, also known as the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now back in December 2001, just a few months after the first 9/11 event. Yeah, you heard me right, folks, the first 9/11 event. And by the way, folks, this COVID-19 scamdemic is another 9/11 event, except this one's worldwide, and it's unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. Anyways, back in December 2001, the editor of the Idaho Observer, Don Harkins, he wrote an op-ed piece titled Slavery in the Eight Veils. Now, it wasn't written from a Christian perspective, but it struck a very powerful nerve with me. And when I first read this way back when, I realized that Mr. Harkins was on the truth. He knew something. Somehow he knew something. Now, if you've been listening to me for any time, you know what I always say. Everything that's in the Bible is true, but not everything that's true is found in the Bible, but all truth is of God. And you may say, as a Bible believer, if you are one, your proof for that, Ken? Well, John 21:25 says, and there also, this is the last verse of the Gospel of John, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So the point is that you'd need a library bigger than the world to hold all the truth done by Jesus himself, who is the Son of God, but more importantly, God the Son. So my prayer for you as we wrap this message up is that what I'm about to share with you helps you and me to better understand how deep and how pervasive the stranglehold over truth is by the enemy, also known as Satan. Lucifer, the prince of the air, the angel of light. It's crucial, folks, that we no longer conform our minds to this world, but we allow them to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And how do we do that? By the agency of the Holy Spirit. And why do we do that? That we may prove what is good, what is acceptable, and perfect. And in essence, the will of God. And his will for our lives isn't to be, you know, huddled down in shelter-in-place orders, wondering where we're going to get our next paycheck from, wondering what we're going to do for food for our children. That's not of God. So anyways, Mr. Harkins rightly explained that most people don't want to see this truth. Okay? But it's not simply that they can't see it because they don't want to see it. They can't see it, okay, because they haven't pierced the veils that stand between them and the truth, also known as the Holy Spirit. And this can't be seen, okay? This is a spiritual thing, okay? It can't be understood or reasoned by the world and its system. This understanding only comes through revelation. Now, there's two types of revelation. First, there's logos, and that's the written word itself. So read your Bibles, folks. And then there's rhema, which is the word spoken to us spirit to spirit by the Holy Spirit. So our lamps, our spirits, are filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and then the lamp is lit, giving our minds, our wills, and our emotions, that's our soul, instruction, giving it direction. Remember I talked about that? So the unsaved, they aren't lying when they say they simply don't understand. You know, Jesus speaks of the Spirit of truth in John 4:17, where he says, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. So remember this. Remember this, and don't forget it when you want to start arguing with these people. I don't care whether they're saved or unsaved. If they haven't pierced these veils, they're not going to see the truth on these matters. So just realize that they truly cannot understand it because they truly cannot see. And why? Because the Holy Spirit is antithetical to the spirit of this world. And in truth, it's even worse than that tells us in our focus verse, that the God of this world blinds their minds. Remember I opened with that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. You know, Harkins was right on when he said that extremely evil men and women, the power elite, the deep state of this world, have cleverly cultivated what he called a virtual pasture. Okay? It's a pasture. It's like just a big field full of green grass, and we're the cows. That's what they call us, okay? And we're down there grazing. You know, they call us goyim, useless eaters, and we very seldom bother to look up from our grazing long enough to notice that we have ear tags on with numbers, just like cattle, okay? You know, this matrix, as I call it, this worldwide prison of our mind, so to speak, that's been created all around us, and it keeps us in this constant state of angst or cognitive dissonance by confusion and chaos. And we do that in some ways by confusing happiness and enjoyment for true joy, and there's a big difference. Or by substituting entertainment and amusement in place of rhema truth and regular fellowship with God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And some of these same people, okay, they can't see their own enslavement because they're down there with their heads in the green grass grazing on it. They tend to view people like you and me as insane. And they even chime in on the CIA coined term conspiracy theory. And they label us, okay, as nuts when they can't see past the farm they're on and look up and see the feudal lord's estate up there on the hill. Remember, the lord of this world, little L-O-R-D, the prince of this world, is none other than Satan, also known as Lucifer. So you got to learn who your true enemy is. And if you want to learn more about this, go into the Blog Talk Radio archive and listen to messages 64 and 65. Okay? So when we talk about world, what am I talking about? Am I talking about the trees and the grass and the land and all that? No. That's not what the term world means in the Bible. In Titus 2:12, St. Paul's not referring to the earth when he writes, teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, this word world from the Greek is the term cosmos, which refers to an order or a philosophy or an age. So when we speak of the world of sports or the world of business or the fashion world, we're using it in the same sense that Paul did here in Titus 2:12. And that's how John also used it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, when he wrote, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm telling you, folks, that's a powerful verse when you get it. So just dwell on that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Write it down and then meditate upon it. The point is that we cannot love this world system and God at the same time. Now, there's 4 points I want you to understand about this world system before we get into these veils. So remember, we're talking about this matrix, this mystery of iniquity that I talked about in message number 64. And we need to understand this before we look behind these 8 veils. So first of all, this world does have a prince, and I told you who he is. John chapter 12, verse 31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So Jesus was referring to Lucifer, the fallen angel Lucifer, also known as Satan. And in John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world and hath nothing on me. So this world system is operated by none other than Satan himself, and he hates God, but he can't hurt God, so what he tries to do is hurt those who God loves, and that's you and me. Now, there's no sin found in Jesus. There's nothing Satan could do to hurt Jesus or accuse him, so he goes after us. And the Jesus couldn't be tempted or lured by the devil because Jesus loved the Father and not the world. So in a sense, there was no itch on Jesus that the devil could scratch because Jesus was all in for the Father. And Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit in John 16:11 and said, the Holy Spirit will convict of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So he's already been defeated, folks. But, you know, you cut the head off a rattlesnake, that rattlesnake can still hurt you. Did you know that? And the thing is that it does. And so many people are enslaved by Satan. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, it's written, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Now, that term lies in wickedness literally means to be cradled in the lap of the wicked one. And remember, that's Satan. So there is a great conspiracy in this world. And it involves the deep state, and the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderbergers, and IG Farben, and the pharmaceuticals, and the big bankers. And I can go on and on. All of these things are what the Bible calls the mystery of iniquity. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And I'm telling you, these groups are very well organized. Okay, they practice a methodology called compartmentalization. So they got really good financial guys doing their actuarial figures and all of their spreadsheets. And they got a bunch of good scientists doing their PCR tests, but they never look back to see what the foundation was by the inventor and what the limitations were clearly noted by the inventor. So they go off on these rabbit paths, and that happens in all these other disciplines, okay? And these have all been well organized by none other than Satan. And I'll get into that more later. And I know if you're not a believer and you tuned in for the news, you may be thinking I'm crazy, but folks, I guarantee you I'm not. So that's the first P, okay, the prince. Then this world also has a philosophy, and you really have to understand what it is. It's a very enticing network of ideas and values. You know, I think it was Cuomo on CNN when somebody said God's really helped to flatten this curve, and he just shot out with almost an anger. And I want to see if I can get that quote too. The Cuomo quote where I'm writing this down. Cuomo, not God quote. He's saying it wasn't God. Everything good that's happened came from us, not God. These people shake their fists at God. And that's the spirit of this world that Paul was referring to in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And remember, he warned us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So we need to be aware that there's a spirit of this world, a spirit of this age, Zeitgeist. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, Paul also warns us about the wisdom of this world. You know, the devil's so cunning, okay? But he's also very brightly stupid and hideously beautiful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, Paul mentions the fashion of this world. Oh, by the way, it's passing away. And then he speaks of the pollutions of this world in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. So the point I'm trying to make here is that this philosophy of this world, it's everywhere. It's in the movies, on television, in the news. And then there's that documentary that's out right now, Out of the Shadows. I recommend you listen to it. Watch it, folks, because it sheds some light on this and how we're being manipulated. And the CIA and some of the other intelligence agencies, they're in bed with the mainstream media. They're in bed with Hollywood. They're creating this world view, this world's philosophy. So it goes everywhere from the schoolhouse to the state house. Madison Avenue, Wall Street, and it may seem innocent, and also it may have a certain degree of beauty to it, and even appear harmless, but I'm telling you, it's a spiritually corrupt system. It's a dark, dark philosophy, and the point here is that the Bible speaks of it as the spirit of the world, the wisdom of the world, and the pollution of the world, and this is what I call the mystery of iniquity, and like I said, if you want to understand this more, go back and listen to my message number 64 on Blog Talk Radio, The Mystery of Iniquity. And if you can't find it, send me an email at kdbeard1961@gmail.com. So now we've looked at the prince of this world and the world's philosophy. And what I'd like to look at now is the world's purpose. Yeah, there's a purpose for this world. Now, when we're saved by grace, we're commanded to deny worldly lusts. We're to be set apart and holy as he is holy. and we're to practice righteousness as he is righteous. But beware, okay? Because there's a calculated plan, and it has an unwavering purpose. This world system does, folks, and it's designed by Lucifer, and it's designed to keep us enslaved. So remember that this world system is hostile to the things of God, and that includes his people, because he can't hurt God, but he can hurt you and me. Jesus said in John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. So this world system hates Jesus. It doesn't mean that all the people of the world hate Jesus. And nature certainly doesn't hate Jesus. But this Luciferian system, people like Bill Gates and his unholy trinity of Burks and Fauci, they do. In fact, God created the earth, and Jesus loves it. The Bible says in Luke 12, verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. And in Psalm 24, verse 1, it reads, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it's all God's handiwork. It's all around us, folks. Praise the Lord. So we can love nature. We should never worship it, but we can love it. We can delight in its beauty. And when I say the world hates Jesus, I'm not talking about the baby Jesus that everybody gets amped up for after Thanksgiving. You know, the world system even gets, okay, now we're secularizing it, but come on, let's be honest. December 25th is Christmas. But then look at how everybody acts in January. Some doesn't even hate Jesus the healer or Jesus of ritual and Jesus of religion. No, what the world system hates is the Jesus of righteousness, the Son of righteousness. And the world system hates it when Jesus says right is right and wrong is wrong. So if you want this world system to come down on you like a hammer on a nail, all you have to do in public is stand up and say, you know, there's a fixed standard of right and wrong. And when people ask you, well, what's that? You could say, well, the Bible says. And when you do that, I promise you, you'll get in trouble. Remember, Jesus didn't come to get us out of trouble. He came to get us in trouble with him as we stand on righteousness. I promise you, if you do that, you're going to get in trouble. Why? Because Jesus testifies that the works of this world and its system are evil. So in the life of a truly sanctified believer, Jesus just rips these 8 veils of darkness away one at a time and shows you the system, this world system, for what it truly is. And bottom line, it's pure evil. Like I said earlier, Jesus does this through the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit to you as a sanctified believer. And it comes to you through revelation. First Logos, and then Rhema. Then Jesus gives us a warning. So take heed, folks, if you're playing footsie with the world as a believer. Let me ask you a question. Does the world embrace you and your ways? If so, how do you deal with the following comment from Jesus? In John 15, verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is why would we think we're any better than Jesus? If the world hates Jesus and we love Jesus and we're abiding in him, clinging to him like a vine does to the branch, obeying his word, trusting him and obeying, what do we expect the world going to do? You know, James said it so well in chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Folks, beware. I'm warning you. If you and your church are friends with the world system, with its prince and the prince's philosophy and the prince of this world's purpose, you're shaking your fist in the face of God. You've declared war on the holy God himself. So very quickly, I'm going to give you a few ways to determine whether you and your church have become friends with this world. And this is also important with what we're going through right now, folks. You need to be grounded in the Word of God, the full gospel and testimony of Jesus. So if you hear your pastor, instead of declaring, thus saith the Lord, or the Bible says, you hear him say things like, well, the best scholars say, or he goes on to give you an earthly lesson then with sentimental stories like from a Hallmark video, be careful. Or if your pastor changes these declarations out of the Bible that may say or seem a little confrontational, things like "Thou art man," and he waters them down to, well, some of you may have a problem, and here are some suggestions instead of declarations or commandments from God. Or instead of calling you to the holiness of God, he focuses on securing your happiness. There ought to be alarm bells going off in your mind, folks. And finally, instead of a fervent God consciousness, instead of being God-centered, if you notice that your services have become what's referred to as seeker-sensitive or man-centered, like a rock concert of sorts with a lot of feel-good moments, I'm urging you to turn and run. I don't care if your grandma's buried in the cemetery out back. If she could, she would. So there's a prince, and he has a philosophy, and he has a purpose. And you got to understand that he has a people, too. Now, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 8, the children of this world, and this is Jesus speaking, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So we're not to hate these people. We're to hate the system that enslaves them and work with the Lord through the power and agency of the Holy Spirit to shed light, pierce these eight veils that Don Harkins was talking about. So don't be surprised when you have a tough time in this world as a child of God. Remember, this isn't our home. We're just passing through. We're twice-born people living in a world of once-born people. And that's a riddle. My pastor last week on his video broadcast, I gave that riddle to us. What's it mean to be twice-born? What's it mean to be once-born? I love that. I learned that so many years ago. Well, as believers, we're born twice and we die once. But as worldly people, they're born once and they die twice. Ponder on that. And if you can't figure it out, email me at kdbeard1961 and I'll share the riddle with you. So we're believing completely opposite to the world, okay? Our gift of saving faith starts at a different source, and that source is Jesus. And it follows a different course, and it ends up at a different conclusion. Praise the Lord. So don't be surprised when you find yourself paddling against the tide, so to speak. Remember, Paul told Titus in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And the point is, told not to live as the world lives. Amen? We're in it, but not of it. And Paul tells us to separate ourselves from the world. I alluded to this before, and I'd like to read this scripture now as I wrap this up. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's exactly what God told Titus through St. Paul. And Jesus said in John 15:19, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen ye out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So just quit trying to win popularity contests, folks. You're not going to win. Just tell the truth, but say it with love. Amen? Because there's no denying that this world is going to hate you if you follow Jesus. It's just that plain and simple, folks. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not out there trying to make enemies. They just come with this line of work that I'm in. But I refuse to betray my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I will not compromise on the Word of God. Amen? And I hope you don't either. You know, we hear so much about the separation of church and state. But what God really wants us to do as a church, okay, is to separate from the world system. Be in it, but not of it. The point is that we need to be different. There needs to be something peculiar about us, something that the world looks at us and says, "I want some of that." And like St. Peter said, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within. Okay? So we just need to hang on there, folks. And next week, I'm going to get into the eight veils. But, you know, most people's subsistence live in them. Behind the first veil, they find politics. About 10% of the people in the world. The other 90%, their subsistence living. Then out of those percent that discover politics and they pierce that first veil, About 10% of the world pierces the second veil, and they learn about the world of history. Okay? And then behind the third veil, a tenth of those people, and remember, this is getting smaller and smaller on a logarithmic scale, they find that there are people controlling the power and wealth of the world. Okay? And then the fourth veil, a tenth of them, realize there's these secret societies that organize all this. And then behind the fifth veil, they realize that there's all sorts of advanced technologies and different suppressed technologies that are being used for their advantage, the deep state advantage, and not ours. And then behind the sixth veil, they learn about dragons and lizards and reptiles and reptilians and all that stuff. I call them fallen angels. And that's the spiritual realm. And then behind the seventh veil, if you get that far, you're kind of like a person like Gandhi or the Mother Teresa, okay? Enlightened, okay? Brightening the world around them, regardless of their circumstances. Then the seventh veil, okay? I missed a veil there. No, I did six. That's the seventh veil. And the eighth veil, I believe that behind that veil, and this is what Harkin says, is a revelation of God. And Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. So I believe that's what it is, okay? And I'll get into much more detail and show you next week how the Bible actually supports that. But right now, I want you to go out this week in no fear. I want you to go out in faith, okay? Which is to Jesus what fear is to the enemy of this world, and know that we're no longer slaves to fear. I love y'all. I'll be back next week with another message, provided the Lord's willing.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me.